Here we find John the Baptist, who has been out in the wilderness having people come for baptism for repentance, is now in jail and has a question for Jesus. Hear now these words. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but during this season, I spend a lot of time surfing looking for movies that are uplifting. And there are a lot of movies out right now about angels and those who have encounters with divine at Christmas time. But one of my favorites, even though it's not that Christmassy, is Bruce Almighty. Anybody seen Bruce Almighty? I love Bruce Almighty. Even though it's not Christmassy, his message is very spot on for Advent. In the opening scenes of the movie, Bruce, who is a television newscaster, has lost his job because he's had a temper tantrum on screen, and he is literally thrown out of his office. And as he is collecting himself and his things off the pavement, he looks up and he sees a homeless man being assaulted and bullied by a gang. And so he throws out some snarky comment to the gang, and of course they turn and they come and beat up Bruce. He's having a terrible day, and so when he goes home and tells his girlfriend, Grace, about his terrible day, she says, "Thank God you're okay. It could have been so much worse." And he just becomes unglued. He goes on a tirade, like, "Thank God. Thank God. God is the reason for all this. God could have stopped all of this." And so he goes on a tirade about God. And inevitably, what makes it funny is that he is then visited by God, who is played by Morgan Freeman. And Morgan says to Bruce, "You know what? If you think this is easy, let me do something for you. I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to give you all my powers, and I'm going to see if you can do a better job. I'm going to invite you to try to do a better job than I do at running things on earth." But there's only two rules that you need to know about Bruce. And the first is, you can't tell anyone who you are. And the second is, you can't use your powers to mess with free will. And when Bruce complains about that, God says, "Well, welcome to my world." Bruce soon learns what it means to have power and might. And after going on a self-serving binge of power, he realizes that while he's been serving himself, the rest of the world's prayers have gone unanswered. And so then he decides he'll just give everybody what they want. It would save him a lot of time and trouble. But that creates another realm of problems. Bruce soon learns that power and responsibility go hand in hand. And in one particularly funny scene, Bruce is sitting in a diner, and he decides to try out his powers, and so he starts blowing on his tomato soup, parting the waters like the Red Sea, and it works. And then Morgan Freeman just appears in the booth across from him, And he says, parting your tomato soup is not a miracle, Bruce. It's a magic trick. A single mom who's working two jobs and still has time to take her son to soccer practice is a miracle. A teenager who says no to drugs and yes to an education, now that's a miracle. You know what I find? People want me to do everything for them, but what they don't realize is that they have the power. You want to see a miracle, son? Go be the miracle. In our gospel reading for today, we find that John the Baptist has had a bad day or as bad of a week as Bruce Almighty. His prophetic message has gone over so well with the authorities that he finds himself in jail. And so John, who in last week's reading is baptizing all who would come into the wilderness for repentance, and he identifies Jesus as the one who is coming, one who is more powerful than him, one who will baptize not with water, but with the fire of the Holy Spirit. The one who carries a winnowing fork in his hand to separate the wheat from the chaff is coming. But now he is not quite so sure. John the Baptist, the first person in Matthew's gospel to recognize who Jesus is and to declare that he's coming, his friend and his cousin, is now the first person to voice doubts about his prophecy as Jesus, as Messiah. John's read his Bible, although perhaps selectively, as we all do, and he knows what a Messiah is supposed to look like. During the Messianic age, he knows, to quote scripture, that a fire will come out against all the house of Israel. And if any nation will not listen, then God will completely uproot it and destroy it. John the Baptist is ready for God's vengeance to come in power and in might. But he has seen no fire and no uprooting. He's only heard about all this goody-goody stuff that Jesus has been doing. So he's correct when he says that Jesus is the Messiah, but he has a bit to learn about what it means for God's power and might to work through the Messiah and what that might look like. If Jesus is the one to come, then why am I sitting in jail? I imagine him wondering. If you're the Messiah, where's your army? Shouldn't you have done something about all of this right now? Shouldn't you have used your power? And don't we sometimes all wonder the same thing? If you really are the Messiah, then why is this happening to me? John the Baptist is having, even though he's one that's been in the wilderness, he is now in jail having a wilderness moment like the one described in Isaiah. Isaiah, as Tim read, tells Israel, who is literally being held captive and whose land has been scorched by war, that God is coming to save them, to make the scorched places of their land and their lives verdant once again. He is literally captive, and I imagine he is afraid. And his people, John the Baptist's people, are also held captive by Roman oppression and rule. So he has his friends go to Jesus and ask, are you the one to come, or are we to wait for another? Basically, he's saying, are you really it, or have I made a mistake? And Jesus, instead of answering straight up, I love this, but instead of saying, yes, I'm the one, John, what I love about Jesus' answer is that he pretty well tells John the Baptist, you know, you have missed seeing the forest of what God's power looks like if you're only focusing on a tree of wrath and judgment. So Jesus, in answer to John the Baptist, refers to today's reading from Isaiah and other readings from Isaiah when he says to John's friends, go tell John what you hear and what you see. This is what the Messiah's age, the coming of the Messiah, looks like. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. God comes to deliver those who are hurting and living in the darkness of scorched wilderness through the power of grace and compassion and love. The power of love and grace is the only power that will change hearts and transform the world. It's going to be a more powerful way than militia and fire and violence. Isaiah poetically tells us that God's presence and grace will strengthen the weak hands and the feeble knees. Say to those whose hearts are fearful, be strong, do not fear. Your God is coming to save you. The power of love and grace will drive out that fear. But in our world today, as we all know, it seems as it has since the days of Isaiah and John the Baptist, that true power comes through force. We too sometimes wonder, like John the Baptist, is it true? Are you the one to come? If so, why is there so much violence? Why are children being gunned down in schools? Why are children still being ripped from their families' arms at the borders? Will there never be peace in the Middle East? Shouldn't we use force and spear and might to stop this? And sometimes we say, I feel so weak and powerless in the face of all that's going on, in the face of so much power in the world. I feel helpless to change things. But Jesus' message to John the Baptist and to us dispels that notion. The one who came to us humbly as a child in a stable overcame the powers of sin and death through love. It was love that compelled God to become one of us. It was the power of love that drove Jesus to the cross. It was the love of Almighty God that raised him from death, that we too might be given his power to live as he lived, in love and service to others. That is what truly redeems lives in the world. In November of 2015, there was a terrorist attack in Paris that left 90 people inside the Bataclan Theater dead. And there is this heartwarming and heart-wrenching video of a French father reassuring his young son and also trying to help explain what this massive floral and candle tributes that were left outside the theater, what that all meant to his son. And as he's talking to his very little boy, a journalist comes up and asks the boy, do you understand what's happened? And the little boy says, yes, yes, there are very, very bad people. And you have to be very careful because you need to move from your house. And the father sweetly replies to the son, no, don't worry, we don't have to move. France is our home. And the boy says, but what about the baddies, Daddy? And the father says, son, there are baddies everywhere. And the boy says, but they've got guns, and they can shoot us because they're very, very, very bad, Daddy. And the father says, son, they have guns, but we have flowers and candles. The boy says, but flowers don't do anything. And the father says, look, everyone is laying flowers here and candles to fight against the guns. And the boy asks, is it for protection? And the dad says, that's right, for protection. And the candles too. The flowers and the candles are here to protect us. And the father says, yes, they are. And the journalist then asks the little boy, do you feel better now? Yes, I feel better. Sometimes we look at language like this and we think it's just a pipe dream. Yet this father was articulating to his child the message of Christ. The light of love shines in the darkness of fear and in our wilderness places, and darkness cannot overcome it. Christ is with us. The great Lord of might comes in love. And if John the Baptist, I think, if I were imagining, if he had been at that time in Paris, and if he were to ask Jesus about this episode, are you the one to come, or are we to wait for another? I can imagine Jesus saying, go tell John what you hear and see. People are not hiding. Love is on display in response to violence. A father has dispelled fear in his son's heart. God's presence has strengthened the weak hands toward acts of kindness and healing, and feeble knees are walking the path of peace today. And so I'd like to ask you to think about three questions as we come for communion this morning. And as you go into your week, as we continue our preparations for waiting for the Lord to come into our lives. And the first is, what wilderness or scorched places might you be in right now? It might be a wilderness of health issues or bitterness or anxiety or loneliness or regret. Or maybe you're on top of the world and that is great. So if so, then you skip to the second question, and we all are going to go there too. Where do you see wilderness in someone else's life? Think of someone in your life that has a wilderness moment. And the third is, what wilderness moment in the world is most upsetting or fearful for you right now? Here's what our scriptures have to say to us today about that. The first is, whatever wilderness place you find yourself in, you don't have to be afraid. Christ is coming, and really Christ is already with you to give you hope and to strengthen you for the journey to healing and wholeness in your life. Ask yourself where you see the poor and oppressed having good news and healing brought to them, and join God in that work. And secondly, for someone that you know who is in the wilderness, Christ calls you and me to be an Isaiah and a John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord, to say to those with fearful hearts, don't be afraid. You're not alone. God is with you, and so am I. And then choose one wilderness place in our city or our state or our world that breaks your heart. And allow Christ to strengthen your weak hands and your feeble knees for the work of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Jesus reminds us that the world's power doesn't redeem us, his will. But he would say to us today, I think, but you need to be the herald of that power. You need to be a part of what I do. My presence with you is going to strengthen your weak hands to pick up the phone, to write letters, to feed the hungry, to caress the cheek of the one who is sad or lonely or ill. And my presence will make your feeble knees strong again so that you can walk my holy path. Follow me. You have my power, he would say. Be the miracle. Be the flowers. Be the light. Amen.